Hello and welcome to Jason and Ashley's Excellent Adventures. I'm Jason.
I'm Ashley.
I'm Jason.
I'm Ashley.
I'm Jason.
I'm Ashley.
Oh, I love that. All right. Just wanted to see how far you'd keep it going. Hello, everybody. You know, this is the podcast, of course, where we talk a little personal, we talk a little privacy, and that's not even a word, but we have been doing it this year. Has every Jason and Ashley's adventure this year been in a car?
Yes.
Well, fun fact, kids, if you can't tell already, we're in a car again. We've been told by a couple fans of these podcasts specifically that they love, I guess, the freedom that being in a car brings us. I don't know. Maybe we should rename the podcast to Jason and Ashley in a Car.
Maybe.
So Ashley, what are we talking about today? This is the final one of
2019. Yeah, so at the time of this recording, probably pretty close to when this will release, actually. Jason and I recently saw Won't You Be My Neighbor? And in it, there is a scene that we're going to reference. It's not really spoilery, where Mr. Rogers asks Matthew Reese if he ever had a special friend. And by that, he means a childhood confidant, a toy that really spoke to his soul. And I liked that, and I know that Jason and I do, and I thought that that might be an illuminating thing to talk about. Now, in the past, we have talked about toys, and we've talked about action figures, and I'm sure we will probably stray into that foray. But for the jumping off point, I think we're probably staying in the stuffed animal world. So we're getting real soft and real personal.
Well,
today.
But yeah, I want to say that, and this for you, Ashley, that this episode might go a little bit longer.
That's okay.
Because
I don't think anyone's complaining about longer content.
That's just more content for the Patreon, everybody out there. I want to not exclusively make this about our special friend person. I want to hear about lots of childhood toys in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've already told the story about my special friend. So, Ashley, it's not really, it is a weird title for it. I wouldn't call it my special friend, but my favorite toy is what I would call
it.
Yeah,
but that's what he said.
That's what
this
episode is going to be called. My favorite toy.
My favorite toy.
Our favorite toys. Our favorite toys.
Oh, you are.
Yep. I'm Midwestern. I say our.
Yeah, that's true.
Our favorite toys. You know how one of the times where I learned to make sure that I don't, us Midwesterners, we're very guilty of saying R for O-U-R. It was, I was in Hamlet playing Claudius.
Oh, yeah.
And that was where I think I first made the first conscious effort to not say that.
To say our.
To say our.
Can I tell you a Shakespearean pet peeve I have?
Oh, Lord. Did I just violate it?
No, you didn't. I'm going to spell a word, and you say it for me, okay?
Oh, you're just going to make me look stupid
on the podcast.
Ashley.
No.
We just started.
D-O-T-H. How do you say that word?
Well, I know how a certain character would say it, so I'm going to say it as Thor and say, doth.
Yeah, so you said it the right way.
Yep.
So
How do other people say it?
People say doth.
Oh, I've never heard it said that way.
It's not doth. It's like the word does. It's doth. It's a short U vowel sound. And I played one of the witches in Macbeth earlier this year, and I heard a lot of doths. And I wanted to curl up and self-immolate, because that's not how you say it, because it's the word does, so it's doth.
I've never heard it said that way, so I'm glad I didn't come off as stupid. Ashley!
No, you crush it, yeah.
Speaking of toys!
Yes.
Who's your special friend?
My special friend is...
Or your special toy.
A toy that I don't know. I thought for a long time my parents gave it to me. Apparently, they did not. Some woman I don't have any memory of gave to me. I have a stuffed bear, and his name is Boo Boo, and I have had him for literally my entire life. And he used to be a puppet, so he's quite flat. But when I was about 3, I didn't like him being a puppet, so I asked my mom to... sew him together. So she did. She sewed his bum together, but she didn't stuff him. So he's still super, super flat.
Yeah. See, that's so. I just want to say to listeners, I've seen this toy.
We'll post the picture to accompany this.
Yes.
Podcast.
And that's the thing that is odd to me is why didn't your mother put some stuffing in there?
I used to.
Because he's as flat as a sock. It's a he, right?
He. Yeah.
He's as flat as a sock.
Yeah. But also, I used to sleep on him. Like, I used to use him as a pillow until I was, like, maybe 16.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, on top of my pillow. So I think my giant head also crushed him.
That's fair.
Really flat. And he also used to be pink. I have some photo evidence that he was at one time pink. He's like a soft gray now.
Mm-hmm.
And his nose used to be black, and now it's white, and the top half of it is chipped off. And if you look very closely at his eyes are brown, like mine. You'll see little tiny teeth marks because I never had a pacifier. And
did you chew your toy?
I never sucked on my thumb, but I suppose I sucked on the eyeballs of my teddy bear.
Oh my God, this poor bear. This poor bear.
And I still have him and I still love him very much. And when I look at him, I think of all of the feelings that that bear has absorbed over the years. And someday I'm not going to be able to have him out and displayed anymore.
Maybe that's why he's so flat, is because all the feelings.
I crushed him under the weight of my existential
your
dread.
Your emotional dread. Oh, I can't take this.
So someday I'm going to have to put him in like a nice shadow box mm-hmm. or something like that. But it's because I've held on to him, it's crazy to me that, and I know it's not always people's choice, but that people let go of that special toy, because everyone had that thing from their infancy that was their favorite.
Yes.
And I know for a lot of people that's like a baby blanket, but it's crazy to me that people wouldn't still have those.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a judgment thing, but it's just because I will never part with mine.
Mm-hmm.
So he is my special, special friend. I took him with me on my very first international trip when I was in high school. I was 14.
Really?
I took him to England and Scotland.
Wow.
I left him in a hotel in Scotland.
What?
And I called the hotel fully sobbing. And they posted him to me at our hotel in England.
Wow.
And I got him back.
You almost lost him.
Yeah.
Now, do you remember, why did you take him on this trip?
Because I'd taken him everywhere. I always took him with me.
And how old were you?
14.
Very interesting. Okay. At 14. All right.
Yeah. I wish I could remember, but I was not aware of it. I wish I could remember like the name of the hotel that we were staying at, because those were good people that they posted him to me in another country.
That'd be a fun hotel to like return to.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, maybe if I did some research, I could figure it out, but
I bet you could.
Shout out to that hotel in Scotland.
Yeah, because we know they're listening.
Yeah. But that's like the wildest thing. If listeners don't know, my dad was very sick too for most of my childhood. And I used to take him with me to the hospital to visit my dad a lot of the times.
Yeah.
So we have pictures, and I would sit him on my dad, like on his shoulder or whatever.
Do you remember, what were your dad's thoughts about that? Was he always like very happy about it, or was he like, oh, Ashley, not the ratty bear?
No, he was a good sport.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
that's
no,
a good
he
dad.
Was always a really good sport about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, that's a good dad.
Yeah. All so right. That bear has seen me through a lot. He's been to several. I never took him abroad after that, except when I moved to California.
I would say.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
now
yeah.
That bear is an American.
Now he's almost an American.
Yeah, he's pretty close.
Let me tell you, that paperwork surely says that me and my teddy bear are not American.
Shine.
Maybe I should take him with me to my swearing in.
Oh, dear God.
Take a picture.
What if they let you in, but they kick the bear out?
Well, you're not really supposed to bring animals without putting them in quarantine.
Oh, man. All right.
And sometimes when my mother calls me, she asks to see him, so she knows what's up.
Okay.
Yeah, him and the cat. That's all she's interested in.
Yeah.
So, Jason, I know you've talked about your special friend, but let's give a recap because people might not have listened. They might not be familiar.
I don't remember where I would have talked about it.
I think you talked about it on the Ghostbusters episode.
I'm pretty certain I've talked about it. So I have, I think I looked it up. I think it's like a 1984 toy.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, or 1984, 1985. I don't even know where Ghostbusters came out. But it's from, I think it's from the cartoon, but I could be wrong. But I have a stuffed plush Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. And it's one of the original ones. But what it does is that his eyes and his smile glow in the dark. And then he has this little...
they still glow, by the way. It
yeah.
is still low-grade radioactive.
Yeah, there's... he has the little logo, the Ghostbusters logo, on his butt.
Uh-huh.
And that also glows as well. And that was my toy. I had that, and I had an Ernie from Sesame Street, a little tiny Ernie from Sesame Street. I actually had three little cuddly toys that were always on my bed. It was the Stay Puft. It was this little tiny stuffed Ernie from Sesame Street. And then the third thing was a Mego Spider-Man, which I've also talked about as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
that I got
yeah.
from a pawn shop. Now, the only one I have still is Stay Puft. And I only have Stay Puft because I went home a couple years ago, and Stay Puft became my little brother's like stuffed toy.
Yeah.
As well. And my little brother obviously is not little anymore.
No.
And a couple years back, I was like, hey, do you still have Stay Puft Marshmallow Man? And he was in a box in the closet. And so I grabbed him and took him. And now he is in my apartment.
He's in good shape, too.
He's in really good shape. Yeah. He's actually still, he's pretty much white. He's not become off color.
No.
His eyes are still there. Like, there's a couple spots where they've rubbed off. And, like, none of the stitching, like, the only stitching that's kind of bad is his hat. His hat kind of looks like it might come off at any moment.
Well, because I think it's only held on by those two little points.
Yeah.
We could fix that real easy, though. I could sew that back on.
I think probably will someday.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Stay Puft is my little cool little toy. But I really wish I'd kept that Ernie, and I really wish I'd kept the Spider-Man. Now, what happened to them, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I would assume that my parents sold them somewhere.
Uh-huh.
Or sometime, you know, or something, you know, did something with them. But the answer is, I don't know. But that has led to me sort of creating a modern Stay Puft Marshmallow Man collection.
Yes.
And I have a little shelf in my apartment that is all Stay Puft.
I don't know. We try to share a lot of the action figures on the lens, and I don't know if we've ever shared the Stay Puft. So maybe when this episode releases, that'll be one of our lens videos.
Sure, that sounds good.
Yeah. But really, I think this episode is a testament to our mothers for understanding what we loved and carefully preserving them, because both of those toys are getting up into the three-decade eras of life.
Yeah, right, man.
And they do not seem like they're on their... They are well-loved and well-worn, but they don't seem like they're on their last legs.
No. So let me ask you, Ashley, are there any other toys from your childhood that you remember, like ones that you like really liked, let's catch it with this.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any toys from your childhood that you wish you still had?
Yes.
Okay, so like, what are those toys? Like, what ones that you're like, oh man, I should have held on to this.
So one of the ones that I really wish we'd held on to, I actually tried to get the last time I was home. So I came up when Beanie Babies were really, really popular. And I collected Beanie Babies, and I loved them. I probably had over 100 of them, because there were a few years of my life where it was just all people gave me. And I had a few that were really, really important, and I always wanted to, like, bring them into my adult life.
What were the important ones, can I ask?
So the first one I ever got was, like, a brown dog.
Okay.
I don't remember what that... They all came with names, but I don't remember what the dog's name was.
Did the brand dog, like, your brown dog? Is that why you...
No, it was just the first one I had.
Oh, okay.
And then I had... So they had, like, these bigger ones. They were called Beanie Buddies. They were, like, half-stuffed and
I've never heard of Beanie Buddies.
Half
wow.
full of beans.
Okay.
And when my dad first got really, really sick and we first visited him in the hospital... I assume because we were probably quite traumatized, because it literally never happened again, they took us to the hospital gift shop and bought us toys. And I got this big black dog. And I don't remember what the dog's
name
is.
And this is a Beanie Buddy.
Beanie Buddy, the big one.
Now, how much bigger than the normal? Because I remember Beanie Babies.
A Beanie Buddy is like the size of, the Kermit the Frog that we have.
We should talk about the Kermit the Frog, by the way.
So we can circle around to the Kermit the Frog.
That's a big beanie,
he's
buddy.
He's like that size.
So about a foot long.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And when that was happening, I was staying with my grandparents and sleeping on their couch. And I had Boo Boo my bear, and I had this stuffed dog.
Yes.
And I always meant to keep it. But then when I went home, when I went to visit my mom earlier this year, she told me that she was like, I was sick of having them, so I donated them all. And I was like, okay, that's... Like, I'm not too upset about it,
but I'm a
little upset that I didn't get to pick out, like, the two or three that I kind of wanted.
No, that's interesting, especially because, like, you probably would have kept the dog because it's so tied to that very specific memory.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a shame. That's interesting. I don't have anything like that that's tied to a very specific thing.
Yeah.
Wow. Hmm. Well, since we just talked about it, we should talk about the Kermit, correct?
Yeah, let's talk about the Kermit.
Reveal the Kermit, Ashley. I'm just going to make you talk this entire podcast.
Well, you are driving,
yes.
So that's fine. A few years ago when what was that movie called?
Muppets Most Wanted.
Muppets Most Wanted came out. They had all this cool Muppet merch, so I bought a stuffed Kermit and gave it to Jason. And he's really taken on a life of his own.
Mm-hmm.
He is like the star of the Jawan HQ household. He sings, he dances, he... creates power structures.
Yes, he does.
he claims every other toy as his pet or horse.
Look,
quite something.
We say that this podcast, you know, gets
personal.
Gets personal, and so let's get a little personal with it. You know how I do impressions, everybody, and I sing and I dance. Yes, I dance on this podcast. You just can't see it. But so I. What is the correct word? There's a word. Is it
anthropomorphic?
Thank you. Thank
anthropomorphize.
I'm not even gonna attempt to say it, but yeah. I knew what the word was. I do that to objects.
Yes.
So Kermit is very much a real person.
Yeah.
In our home.
Kind of the fourth member of our household.
Home. Yes. He really is. Like, he is a real person that lives in our house.
We have a lot of pictures of him with Brego that are like only funny to us.
Yeah. So like if I'm ever bored and I'm just sitting around the house, Kermit is talking and doing a show.
Yeah.
So, so that happens all the time.
Jason, are there any toys or action figures that you wish you'd been able to, besides obviously the Ernie and Spider-Man, are there any others that you wish you'd held on to or you wished that your parents hadn't shuffled off into this big scary world?
Well, you know, I'm pretty good with action figures. Well, I think I was once I got into junior high.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have some of my action figures from that time. You might have seen it on my Instagram recently. I just like recently put up a bunch of my Green Lanterns into this new display. I've always had this Kyle Rayner collection, and I kind of rearranged it
because Jason thought the shelf was going to fall and crush his head.
Yes, that too, but also because our friend of the podcast and good patron Jeremy Skinner, who lives in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Please go have a meetup in Tulsa, Oklahoma with Jeremy Skinner.
Jeremy's literally the number one person we mentioned on this podcast.
He gave me a Kyle Rayner Superman the Animated Series statue. Now, you might be like, what? Kyle Rayner was in Superman the Animated Series?
Yes, he surely was.
That's correct. There's the Green Lantern episode in Superman the Animated Series, and during the time when they released it, they made the Green Lantern Kyle Rayner because Hal Jordan was dead, and DC Comics was like, you have to play the comics like our characters, like you have, like it has to be, mm-hmm. you know, like if you're going to introduce a Flash, it has to be Wally West. If you're going to introduce Green Lantern, it has to be Kyle Rayner. So they basically gave Kyle Rayner almost Hal Jordan's origin and Hal Jordan's costume,
and that his hair is just kind of black.
Yeah, and his hair is kind of black, and it's Kyle Rayner. So they made a statue of him, which is really cool. And so I put that up there and put that up. So on that display as well. In the 90s, there was this action figure series called Total Justice.
Oh, yes. I have the Total Justice Robin.
Yes, you do. And it was these over-articulated, too many muscles, Rob Liefeld-style Justice League action figures.
Some good 90s-ass stuff.
Called Total Justice, and they made up this fake storyline where Darkseid was coming to Earth. The coolest thing about it was that all these characters had power armor, so they all had armor that you could put on top of mm-hmm. the characters. Now, at the time, in the 90s when they released Total Justice, the only action figures that were really out there were the X-Men line from Toy Biz and the Spider-Man line from Toy Biz, and then the never-ending Batman toy line tied into the animated series.
Uh-huh.
That's it. So when Total Justice showed up and was introducing Kyle Rayner Green Lantern in his Kyle Rayner costume, Connor Hawke Green Arrow.
Oh, that's right. It is Connor.
Yep, Huntress.
Mm-hmm.
Parallax. Like all these comic accurate Superman with long hair was in that line. It blew my mind. So I still have the Kyle Rayner from that line. And I also have the Aquaman from that line. And I still have him in package. And I bet he's worth nothing because it was one of the first times I ever learned about chase figures thanks to Toy Fair, which mm-hmm. was the Wizard Magazine spinoff series all about toys that didn't last as long. They made the Harpoon Hand Aquaman in that series. And in the Harpoon Hand Aquaman, his armor that's over one of his shoulders,
mm-hmm.
the chase figure was gold.
Oh,
and
yeah,
so
yeah.
I
yeah.
went to my local Chanute, Kansas Walmart, and I saw the gold Aquaman, and I bought it, and I kept it in package. And I remember my mom always being like, why are you keeping that package? It's like, because it's worth a lot of money. It's probably, it's probably worth nothing. But I still have it, and I don't know if I'll ever get rid of it. Like, I actually just... A couple months ago, I went through a bunch of the boxes and I came across that Aquaman and I was like, should I get rid of this? And I was like, I don't know, but it's like, it's I've damaged it now because it's moved a couple of times.
I think when you become a showrunner, you should put it in your office.
It'd be like, my office is going to be nerdy enough as it is. I don't know if I need to make it even more nerdier. I'll put it up in my office if I showrun the Aquaman TV show.
Okay,
I'll
there
tell you
go. So let's put that out in the universe.
Or the Atlantis Chronicles.
Go tweet DC. Let's make this happen.
But that's another special one to me. Another special one to me that is one I wish I would have held on to is Micro Machines, if you remember those.
Oh, I do.
Micro Machines used to make Star Trek vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
And when they made Star Trek vehicles, they did these. You could buy them in three, right? You could buy, you know, in three sets. And these Micro Machines look amazing, by the way. They made two sets of like 20 vehicles each. And in each of the vehicles, you had an exclusive Micro Machine Star Trek vehicle that you could not get anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they actually made three of these sets. I was only able to get the first two, and I got the first two all because of Christmas. So the first one was just kind of your standard, like, it had the Borg cube, and it had the Enterprise D, and the original TOS Enterprise, and the chase figure in that was the Enterprise A, the movie Enterprise.
Mm.
Now, it's really cool. That's amazing, right? Now, the second set was more of like the Voyager. I remember it had a bunch of the K's on. It had a USS Voyager where the nacelles went up and down.
Mm-hmm.
And the chase figure for that, which I love because this is one of my favorite Star Trek ships, was the Enterprise E.
Heck yeah.
Which was really cool. It also had like an amazing Deep Space Nine. So I've held on to some of those. And you can see them on the set and the YouTube set. Like you can see the Enterprise E. You can see that's what it is. I think I gave Ashley the runabout.
Yeah, and the Deep Space Nine.
And the Deep Space Nine. But the Deep Space Nine is because my sister's cat, Silver, who was named Silver because he was gray, would sneak into my room and chew on my toys. And you can see the gnaw marks of the Deep Space Nine that I gave. But I would...
Weren't some of your Obi-Wans casualties of Silver
well? Yes, my Obi-Wans were casualties of Silver as well.
R.I.P. Silver.
But I wish I'd kept all of those. Because I basically gave them to... my little brother Matthew, and I know he didn't care because, you know, Star Trek is not as important to him. But the other thing is, too, is I know they made a third set, and I never had the third set because in the third set, the exclusive little toy was the Defiant.
Ooh.
And I never got that one, or I never was able to find that one or anything like that. I bet I could find them on eBay. They're probably like super, but they look amazing. Those are always favorite little toys of mine, and that's I think that's the reason why I love the current Eagle Moss toys because they just remind me of bigger
they're
micro
like
machines.
Adult versions of
yeah,
that.
They're like bigger, like slightly better micro
painted,
machines.
Yeah,
exactly. Any other toys stand out for you, Ashley? Or do you have any nerd toys that stand out to you? Do you remember? Because I talked a lot about nerd toys.
The first Batman I ever had, I think might have been from Batman and Robin, a variant of that.
Ooh.
He had a red suit.
Oh, yeah.
I've showed you this picture because my mom has sent me maybe 800 copies of it in my adult life. It's me at Christmas. I'm 4, holding it in my hand.
Okay.
And she, on the back of one of them, she wrote, "It started early."
Mm-hmm.
And I wish we had kept that.
Okay.
And I remember like really, really loving that action figure. And then I had, my 90s kids will remember this. I had almost, but never the full complete one. I had almost the full line of the original Sailor Moon dolls that came out. Now,
okay. Can I ask you a question about these? When you say dolls, were they action figures or were they more like Barbies? Because when you say dolls, I think
like
Barbies.
6-inch Barbies. I bought the Sailor Jupiter a couple years ago. It's on our set.
Oh.
And she's got the actual Barbie doll.
That's
hair.
The actual set?
That's the one.
Oh, yeah. You guys, if you go to our YouTube video, it usually is over my right shoulder.
Yeah. So we got rid of all of those. I also went through a period with anime. And I think it's like, and I went through with comic. Everyone does that, right? Where you're like, I'm too grown up for this now.
Yeah.
And I got rid of all of it. And I regret that because there were so few. You kids today don't know how good you got it. Those were the only Sailor Moon dolls they made. They were super, super shitty. There were no Pokemon toys except the ones from the Burger King, which shout out again to Jeremy Skinner, who found the one I was talking about on a previous podcast and sent it to me.
We got to have him on one of these episodes. We talk about him too much.
The next time we go to Tulsa, the next time Jeremy comes here, we'll interview Jeremy.
We need to like record five podcasts. It should be, yeah.
We could do the history of Jeremy Skinner.
Oh, man. We just need to like do... we just need to do a whole podcast about it, man. I mean, there's a, I'll put it out to the listeners. There is a trip that I took with Mr. Skinner where one time we went to Oklahoma City and basically all we did was look, go to different stores to look at action figures.
I know. I kind of want you guys to do like a timeline of your friendship or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I'd forget a bunch of it. I have a terrible memory.
That's not true at all.
I have a terrible memory for real life things. So
yeah, the Sailor Moon one always comes to mind. And then I spent too much money buying another version of it in my adult life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I want to flip it to now.
Uh-huh.
What out there right now, Ashley?
Yes.
What toys, what things? If you had all the money.
Yes.
And all the space in the world, because I know that's a thing that hits us, especially you and me, you know, because many people don't realize that, you know, when you live in Los Angeles, doesn't mean you have a mansion.
Or that you, or that you're rich.
Or that you're rich. Yes, that's very true. When you live in Los Angeles, one of the things that comes up, especially if you're not a gazillionaire like J.J. Abrams, you
can't get your kid to write Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's true. But you don't have a lot of space to display stuff.
Oh,
so
yes.
That becomes very difficult, especially like for people like you and me, because we want to collect and we want to do full lines. And
we want things to look nice.
We don't have space.
Yep.
So, Ashley, if you had all the money in the world.
Yes.
You had all the space in the world.
Yes.
What? Is there a modern thing or recent thing, toy line, statue line, anything like that? Like, what would be your thing? What would you buy?
I just don't have it in me to spend this much money on a single thing, but I would really love, I would love to look at Sideshow's entire catalog.
Oh, boy.
And get, like, we have a really great Wonder Woman from them. We had a great Superman, and then he got damaged. Like, I would
Thanks
love...
Thanks to Andy Talbot Smith.
Yeah, shout out. Follow Andy. He's truly amazing.
He's a cool dude.
I would love to go through there and be like, let's get the definitive Superman. Let's get the definitive Batman. Let's get, like, of all the characters that we like.
Ah.
And I would love to curate, like, a really beautiful... Like almost like a, you know, a set of like sculptures.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be really cool. Bandai and Nezco.
I don't know what Nezco is.
You know my Sailor Jupiter that you bought me?
Narrow it down.
That's really articulate.
Sure, I guess.
Anyway, she's Nezco. There are these two Japanese companies that make really articulate, really, I think they made your turtles.
Okay.
Or that cool Turtles line.
Mm-hmm.
They make really beautiful anime characters.
It's becoming a very insidery podcast.
Yeah.
As we're throwing out references that no one will understand.
That's okay. But they're a little pricier because they come from Japan. They make like the photorealistic Justice League action figures.
And they have that really amazing Obi-Wan Kenobi that I've been looking at.
Yeah, but their cheapest price point's like $40.
Yeah, each action figure is like $80. But they all come with like multiple, but they look so photorealistic. Yeah,
and it's not that I don't think they're worth it, but I would love to do like...
I think it's Bandai.
I think it's Bandai, and then I think Nezco is like a competitor, mm-hmm. but I would love to like buy out, like they have a great Sailor Moon line, they have a great Cowboy Bebop line, they have a
buy
great
their Justice League,
Attack
buy their,
on Titan,
yeah,
buy the Justice League. And those are action figures that you're like, you would want to pose in a compelling way, but we have neither the space, and I don't think I could justify buying like 10 of those in a go.
No.
But those are the ones that, like, whenever we pass them at a Comic-Con, like, I covet them when I see them.
Sure. They're so cool. I will get that Obi-Wan someday.
Yeah. I only own two of them. I have the Sailor Jupiter, and then I have their Chibiusa.
I didn't know we owned any of them. Crazy.
They're my Sailor Moon ones.
Because their Gal Gadot Wonder Woman is amazing,
He's
too.
Out of this world. Yeah. So those are the two that I covet right now. How about you?
You know, I mean, besides, like, buying all the Obi-Wan Kenobi action figures I could find.
Uh-huh.
And buying all the Superman stuff I could find. You know one there's two I would splurge on. One is I would buy every Eagle Moss.
Yeah.
I would be like, every single Eagle Moss. Every one of them. Just put them up in a nice display and be like, here's the history of Starfleet.
That's cool.
The other one that I think, this one might surprise you.
Mm-hmm.
I would buy every Batman black and white.
That does surprise me.
Because
there's several that you don't like.
There's several I don't like, but I think it would be cool to see them all together.
Yeah.
And it's funny because recently I was looking through like some nerd displays because we were thinking about upgrading a couple things. And I found a Pinterest picture where somebody had like these really cool shelves, and it's these, I don't way to describe it is like they're square shelves, they're all right angles, but like it's like, okay, it's kind of like a Super Mario level land where it's like, here's one up, here's one down, here's one up, here's one down. And someone put those shelves, like, and they put like five sets of them, but they're upside down, so they're inverses. And they put every Batman black and white across it, and it looks so cool.
Oh, that is cool.
It looks really neat. I just think since there's a, there is 100 Batman black and whites now.
Yeah, because wasn't Todd
Todd 100? McFarlane was the 100. I actually kind of want the Todd McFarlane one.
We actually own three Batman black and whites.
Yep. Which all have been gifts.
Which ones are they, Jason? I ask as he's taking a drink.
Do you not remember?
No, but I just thought I would let you answer.
Well, I bought you the Tim Sale one as a gift.
Yes.
I think that was the first one we bought.
It was.
And then
I bought you.
You bought me the Dick Grayson, the Frank Quitely one.
Yeah.
And then I think I got the Damian Wayne Robin Frank Quitely from DC.
I think so, yeah.
I think they gave it to me. Yeah.
They make a nice companion piece, too, because he's scaled to Dick.
Yeah.
So he's like a pro. He's not too, because sometimes they're weirdly too big.
Well, and it's, and it, everybody, it's from that famous cover, Batman and Robin number one, drawn by Frank Quitely with a yellow cover, and they're standing back to back to each other.
Yeah.
That's the pose. So, like, yeah, it looks good when you put them together. But the Tom McFarlane one looks so good. That's the other one that I've been like, maybe.
Yeah.
But no, I just think it would be neat to see him because that's the best thing. That's the best thing about that Batman black and white line. And I'm so mad that the Man of Steel line like only got like 10 statues.
I
have a bunch of those, the Superman companion pieces. But the problem with the Superman companion pieces is that they made them out of plastic.
Fun fact, our cat, when he was a little kitten, wrecked a couple of Jason's.
Yes, he did.
Superman.
Yes, he did.
The Wonder Woman line is the same thing. Like
Stopped it. Yeah.
I have the two that I like the most.
Mm-hmm.
But then they must not sell, which is a real bummer.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're beautiful.
I think the Wonder Woman line only got like four.
Yeah.
But the Superman line got like 10. And then the Batman one just keeps on going.
If that isn't just the state of DC Comics.
But that's a line that I would love to see translate into other ones. Like, I'm not the biggest fan of The Flash. But I'd love to see that, like, because I think they should do that for every character.
Like a bunch of him running.
Well, yeah, like, because imagine, this would be the one I'd buy first. The Mike Waringo, Wally West Flash.
Yes.
Like, we all can see that Flash in our heads, right?
So Nicholas Scott's Earth 2 Flash.
Yeah, so put that one, Nicholas Scott's Earth 2 Flash. Put Francis Manapul's New 52 Flash.
Mm-hmm.
I would put, even though he's not very positive, but he draws a hell of a Flash, Ethan Van Sciver's Flash Rebirth Flash.
Yeah, well, that image is iconic. I'll definitely.
Yeah.
Would you open it up to other characters? Like, would you be like, oh, could we have an Impulse?
Yes, and it had to be the Humberto Ramos.
Yeah.
Impulse. And then you'd have to do, trying to see here. You'd have to go, I would say, almost George Perez Kid Flash.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it would be interesting, like, especially if you limited it. Like, if you limited the number and you were like, okay, we're only doing 10 of each character, so you only get 10 Flash.
And we're
statues.
Only printing like 500 of them.
Yeah.
Unless it sells out and becomes a runaway success.
Or like 1,000.
Yeah, we're only gonna
do 1,000. So like Green Lantern, to me, it's like, okay, you have to do the Ethan Van Sciver Green Lantern. You have to do the Yvonne Reese Green
Lantern.
I think
you have to do the Bruce Timm Green Lantern.
Yep, you have to do the Bruce Timm Green Lantern. You'd have to do the Daryl Banks.
I was going to say, who is GL Prime?
You'd have to do
Daryl
Banks as Kyle Rayner.
Parallax.
Yeah, Parallax would be a fun one to have in there. I mean, I would almost say, I would push for, God, I can't remember his name. He's a good friend of ours, and he draws the Green Lantern right now.
Liam Sharp.
Liam Sharp. Liam Sharp needs a Green Lantern.
Liam Sharpie Sharp. He'd be real skinny. Like, Jason has the Mobius Superman, and he's real, like, lanky.
Oh, I love it.
Like, that's how Liam's Hal would look.
By the way,
like, body would be the same.
By the way,
as
I'm
that.
Putting this out there, guys. The Green Lantern is
awesome.
Is so freaking amazing. If you're not reading it, if you have any interest in Green Lantern, you're not reading it, it's so good.
And if you want to understand Hal Jordan for the first time in your life, I think that book does. I think the first issue of that book really does a good job explaining why Hal is the way he is.
Oh, I mean, I would argue that Geoff Johns' run does that too, but, you know, that fair point. It's a good first issue.
Mm-hmm. Can I tell you some statues that I really want that are... I think they only printed 500 of, and so they're like $800 on eBay, so I'll never buy them.
Sure, go for it.
I really want that Fables statue from the end of the first major arc.
You need to explain this to the listeners.
Yeah, I am.
Oh, okay.
I'm in the process.
I was like, I know exactly what you're talking about.
So at the end of their first big fight with the adversary, Bigby turns into a wolf for the first time.
Yeah.
And one of the final panels is like Snow throwing her arms around his neck.
Hugging him, yeah.
And they made it's stunning. It's so beautiful. This incredible statue of that.
But I think they only made like 1,000 of them, yeah. So
I can find the Rose Red one that they made around the same time. Mm-hmm. She's a little bit more affordable. And I love Rose. But to me, that image of Snow and Bigby is so iconically Fables.
Ah.
And I want it so bad. But it is, I can't spend like half my rent or most of my rent on it.
Now, Ashley, while you've been saying this, something popped into my head.
Yes.
And I want to ask you, because I want to hear the rest of your list, because I have like the one thing that I would love to get, and it's something that I've wanted to get, and it's like it's a must buy for me. So like, are some of these that for you as well?
Well, you gave me the thing I wanted most.
What was that?
It was Aragorn's sword.
Oh, yeah.
I've coveted that for like literally my entire life.
Oh, okay.
Like it was the one piece of memorabilia I think we actually did a Mind University producer video about this as well.
We did. We showed it.
You can find it on
YouTube.
It is like the thing that I wanted the most.
Okay, well then I want to keep going through it. What's some other statues and stuff? Because statues is a big thing, right? Like you need the space for statues.
Yes, and I think the reason that we covet statues are because they're expensive, so we assume that that means that they're better.
Well, they're also great pieces of art.
But also because they are very they can be very well executed. So in that case, like, they're beautiful to have around. They kind of transcend an action figure. Mm-hmm. You got me the Young Justice Robin, which was one that I wanted for a really, really long time.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, it's funny, I was just about to bring that up because I'm going to put you on air and put you on the spot.
Okay.
I've always thought about buying you the other two pieces.
You honestly could.
Because if you don't know, so what this is a statue. It's in Todd Nanuck's art, and I think it's based on one of the early covers.
It's based on I can see the cover.
The poster or something like that.
It was the cover of the original miniseries, the first cover that he drew.
So I believe it's only three pieces, right?
It's Connor, it's Tim, and it's Bart.
Yeah, it's Connor, Tim, and Bart, and they're all posed. And I got you the Robin piece. I've actually bought it for you twice. Because
it broke.
Because the first one we had fell off and it broke his arm and there was like no way to glue him back together.
Yeah.
So I found another one and I bought it. But the Robin's the middle piece, and then there's Connor 90 Superman where he's flying, and then there's Bart where he's running. I've always thought about buying you the other pieces for it. It's a big statue.
It is big. We would have to put it somewhere. I've thought about buying you the Connor one and then being like, I guess we have to get Bart now.
Oh, please do. I'd be down for that. What's some other statues that you would love?
Sideshow has a line of Spider-Verse that came out right after the comics did. They have a really beautiful silk.
They have a really beautiful Spider-Man 2099.
That I've always really loved. They have a Spider-Gwen too. That's very nice. I think the silk one is better.
Mm. They just made, by the way, a Hot Toys of Scarlet Spider that is amazing.
I really want the Black Series Jaina Solo.
Yes.
And then I need we're just driving by this wild billboard, sorry. But then I need to get someone to make, is their last name Solo or is it Skywalker?
No, their last name is Solo.
That's what I thought.
Because Han Solo's their dad.
I just never remember whose name is what.
Because it's Jason, Jaina, and Anakin.
And then, that's right. And then I would need someone to make me Jason, because if you have Jaina, you gotta have.
And we were talking about this recently, they'll never make Jason because Jason's too close to Kylo Ren.
I mean, he's infinitely more interesting and complex than Kylo Ren.
But he also goes dark.
But in broad strokes, yeah, for sure.
Like, he's Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
Like, you can tell when they were creating Kylo Ren, they looked at Jason Solo.
Yeah. I honestly wish they'd just done Jason and Jaina instead of Rey and Kylo Ren. That's my hot take. Don't tweet me.
I wish so, too. I really wish so, too.
Maybe that's a future podcast. Justice for Jason and Jaina.
I like those characters. I like that they're twins. I even like the fact that they named their youngest Anakin.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're trying to redeem that name. And Anakin is as good as a pilot as Dad. You know, like, I like that the twins are like, we're going to become the Jedis. And then the young kid was like, I just want to be a pilot.
Yeah.
I'm a pilot.
Jason, are there, we've gone four times longer than the average episode.
It's fine.
Are there
it's
any,
in the year, baby.
Are there any more that you want to add to this list? I also really want to end this and take my sweater off because I'm sweating.
No, the last thing, I mean, there's lots of stuff I could add that I would
love.
We could
go on.
Yes, we could go on about
toys.
Stuff we, selfish stuff
special
we want.
Special friends.
No, there's something that I've wanted for a very long time, and it's something that I spotted on eBay, and I should have bought it, and I didn't buy it. And you know what this actually is. In the late 90s, DC Direct made a Kyle Rayner Green Lantern battery.
Yes.
And if you know what I'm talking about, the Kyle Rayner Green Lantern battery is different than the normal Green Lantern battery, and it lights up. I actually think it's an amazing design. It's sort of like sideways, it's interesting, and apparently DC Direct made it, and like there's only like 1,000 of them, 5,000 of them, and I remember I saw it on eBay just searching.
It was pricey though.
I think it was only like $120.
Yeah, but I think that was a time when $120 was a lot.
It was. Well, it still is.
Yeah,
it's $120 still is a lot of money. For
look, anything over $50 is a lot of money for us.
For a piece of plastic,
yeah.
Right? So, but at the time, I've never seen it on eBay, or every time it's come back on eBay, I've seen it for like $300.
Yeah.
But from what I understand, it was a thing that they only sold to comic book shops, and that's the reason why it's so hard to find.
Oh, like a Diamond Direct.
Yeah, it's super exclusive. So if anybody out there has this lead on this DC Direct Kyle Rayner Green Lantern battery, because I so want it, because I think that design's so amazing. And again, it's one of those things where I'm like, God, I should have just bought it. I should have just bought it. But yeah, that's the thing. I mean, there's plenty of statues out there that I would love to have,
yeah.
But you know, yeah. There you go.
Do you remember how we end this podcast?
Don't we do what we're reading?
Yeah.
Ashley, what are you reading right now?
I just finished a novel actually called The State of Wonder. It's written by the same woman who wrote Bel Canto, and I can't think of her name. So I'm really crushing it right now. It's about a doctor who is sent to the Amazon after her colleague dies trying to develop a malaria vaccine, and she has to go and find the research station and figure out what happened to him.
Okay.
It's really, really good. I really enjoyed it. My mom sent it to me after she read it, so the spine was broken and the book was deeply damaged, because that's how she rolls. But I really liked that, and then I am finally reading Tom King and Mitch Garrett's Mr. Miracle.
Ooh.
And BARDA is everything. I just got past the story point where Scott and BARDA are having lunch and this girl stops them for a selfie and she goes, "Big BARDA, I love you." And BARDA goes, "Doesn't everyone?" And I was like, I love that. She's perfect. Never change. So I think the baby's coming pretty soon. So Jason, what are you reading?
Well, I recently bought the Blackest Night 10th anniversary omnibus.
Yes.
You know.
Listeners know why.
To tie into a certain thing we might be doing next year. And so I started, I'm like 3 issues deep into that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's big because I had to buy this special little table to be able to read it, because
it's heavy.
It's 1,000-page omnibus, man.
Yeah.
It's huge. So I'm doing that. And then I'm going to start a book soon that I just bought called The Traitor and the Spy.
Interesting.
Yes. For research purposes. So there you go. That's all I can say.
Mysterious.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah,
cool.
There you go. That's it.
Great.
Now we're at the point where we don't know how to end this thing.
Just
how
like every episode.
How do we end this thing?
We go like this, and then we usually scream goodbye.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So we say thank you for all your support.
Mm-hmm.
Patrons.
Yep.
And people in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Specifically people in Kentucky.
Yeah.
This time. And we have fun doing this podcast. And if you know about this Kyle Rayner power battery, give me an email. Seriously. I'm Jason.
I'm Ashley.
Bye.
Bye.